Hi, I'm Laura LaBelle, the host of The Impossible Job, a podcast about the misadventures in parenting that every parent goes through, regardless of who your family is. Not an expert, just a parent. The Impossible Job podcast is supported by RichmondToDCHelpWanted.com, the hometown advantage. Most folks who work here love living here. They care about the community. At RichmondToDCHelpWanted.com, they're proud to work with the hometown advantage around the clock, connecting local employers to local job seekers. RichmondToDCHelpWanted.com makes it easy to post a job, and it's local, so you won't get spammed by faraway job seekers. Post your job today on RichmondToDCHelpWanted.com. And if you're looking for a good local job, search jobs and apply online right now. Get the advantage of finding a job close to home at RichmondToDCHelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work. Hi, everyone, and welcome to The Impossible Job. I am so excited for our today's guest. Her name is Anna McFarlane, and she is a social media expert who teaches companies how to connect with their audience and increase their brand awareness by maximizing their social media presence. She is also the founder of Kids Are the Worst, Things Are the Worst, Anna is the Worst, and Dogs Are the Worst on Instagram. She's also the author of 2 internet and social media guides for families. Anna's also been featured on BuzzFeed, The Huffington Post, Comedy Central, and she is also one of People.com's 10 favorite moms on the internet. Welcome to the show, Anna.
Thank you. I feel like I want you to say that to me every day, all my credentials.
We'll just have like a fanfare, just applause every morning.
I was like, oh, yeah, that's awesome. Check me out.
Well, so for people who are just tuning into the show, this is your first episode, maybe. I am Laura. I am the host. And I have 2 children. I have Lucy, who is 5 years old. And then I have a son named Willie, who is 2 years old. Anna, would you mind maybe kind of giving us a little background, the ages and ranks of your kids?
Yeah, my kids are a little bit older. My youngest is 8, Drett. And then I have a kid in middle school, Ashton, and 2 in high school, Johnny and Maggie. My oldest, she is 16 years old. So I've got from 8 to 16, all 3 schools.
Oh.
I'm living the dream.
Wow. Does it get easier when they're older?
It just gets different. It gets
just different. Yeah.
That's what it is.
Like, it's just still a different nightmare.
Still has its challenges, but you miss some of the things, and other things you're like, oh, I'm glad that's over.
Yeah. They help out a little bit more and things like that.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Things to look forward to.
Definitely.
All right. Well, since you are a social media expert, and the way I found you is through Instagram, I followed you first on Kids Are the Worst, and I just thought everything was kind of hysterical. How did you kind of come up with the blank is the worst for all of your social media stuff?
Yeah, so it started out, Kids Are the Worst was the first one, and it just started out because I think we all, as humans, we like to kind of hear extremes or hyperbole, mm-hmm. and it makes us kind of take things less seriously. And it would just kind of be a joke I would tell my friends when we'd all be out lamenting our children. And, you know, I would just say, oh, kids are the worst. Let's get rid of them. And then we'd all laugh. Because of course not. Of course
not. Well, yeah.
But it's like you needed that permission, you know, that space to be like, oh, yeah, of course. It's totally normal. So that's how it started. It's just that dramatic, hyperbolic comment on, of course, they're not the worst, but then we can laugh at it.
Yeah, I feel like every time that you're talking about kids or like you're complaining about them, you kind of always have to preference it with, but I love them so much. But I mean, obviously we love our kids so much, but that's kind of, you feel that guilt of complaining about them. But I think it's important to be able to kind of make fun of the situation, because I don't know how else I would get through it. But that's just me. When did you start Kids Are the Worst?
It's about 5 years now that I've been doing Kids Are the Worst. Is that right? I should look that up. But yeah, it's been about 5 years that Kids Are the Worst has been on Instagram, and then moved it on to other places, but mostly still Instagram.
So another thing that I love about your Instagram accounts is how you kind of, with Anna is the Worst, you kind of poke fun of yourself, but you also show like your travels and things like that. And you also give some pretty good advice for like your marketing and things like that for people. And then on Kids Are the Worst, you know, just how crazy and hectic life can be with kids. Do you kind of have that? It kind of has this vibe of you don't take yourself too seriously. So does that, is that true? One.
Yeah. And you said, yeah, you even said, I would rather laugh, you know, about parenting. I feel that way about life. Like there's just, it's a comedy of errors. All of our lives are, and we're joking if we think that we're perfect all the time or sad all the time or any of the, all the times. It's just laughing at the middle, you know?
Yeah. This morning, I was really upset, but then I kind of had a laugh at just the fact that, well, my son threw his applesauce pouch in the toilet along with some other toys. And so, like, early in the morning, I'm sitting there with tongs from my kitchen, like, pulling all this junk out of my toilet. And I was upset, but at the same time, I did find the humor because I was like, I know every parent on earth has probably done this at some point, if not multiple times. So.
Oh, yeah. Fishing out of the toilet is a rite of passage, right?
Oh, yeah.
And that those moments where you think, should I just flush it? Should I just flush the rest of the thing?
Yeah.
And you know that would be worse, but you just think, I don't really want to pull all of this out. I mean, we've all been there. I mean, even down to too much toilet paper, you think, oh, should I pull this out?
Yeah, we had more of that issue when we were potty training my daughter.
Oh, yeah.
She was just, you know, the more is more method of toilet paper.
Yeah, and certain teens don't understand that concept that less is just fine either. So it's amazing.
You can get more if you need it, but don't start out.
That's my motto as a mom. My kids will roll their eyes, but I always say you can always get more, but you can't get less. It's like pouring cereal, for everything, it's food, pouring your milk, toilet paper. It works for everything. You can always get more.
Yeah,
can't get less.
That's a really good motto to have.
Thank you. I'll tell my kids you said that. They're always like, "Yeah, but you can't get less." You
know? One of the things you do on your Kids Are the Worst Instagram is you get like a lot of feedback from other parents. I think the ones that you have going on right now is my kids say the darndest things type of deal, where they just. They say one thing that's not at all what it is. Like, I think one of them was like cinnamon, like how many different ways kids pronounce cinnamon or something. And I just die laughing looking over all of these.
Oh, my goodness. And, you know, I wish I could post everything that's sent in to me, but it's just so much stuff. So I kind of have to pick the things that are either frequently said or just so
off the wall or something.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Or just so random or funny or crazy or sensational. Like you just kind of got to use those. But yeah, I mean, it's so crazy. It makes me realize, I wish I could show that more. I hope the audience sees that, mm-hmm. is how similar we all are, because you just get hundreds and hundreds of these comments that are very similar to each other. You just think, see, guys?
It's not just you. We're all suffering.
Yeah, exactly. We're all suffering, but we're also laughing at the same thing. We're also worried about the same things. You know, we're really in this together, and that's what I love about social, is that you can see how many people, you can kind of feel this community, that there are people like you, that we're in this together, that there's a team kind of community.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Our motto here at Impossible Job is we're all trying to do our best, and we're all have the same goal to not raise jerks. I mean, that's what it boils down to. You just don't want your kid to be a jerk. So let's just laugh at each other, because we're going through the same stuff. My daughter recently said, and it was something that when you were like asking, what do you want to hear more of on the Kids Are the Worst? I was going to send you in a quote that my daughter said to me, but I figured I'd save it for the podcast because I knew you'd be a guest. My daughter recently told me, just kind of out of the blue, we were sitting on the couch watching TV, and she actually wasn't even speaking to me in particular. She was just kind of like saying something out loud just to the universe. It was, if I save up all my little farts, I'll have one big fart later to let go.
Wow.
And I was just like,
put that on a shirt.
What type of, like, who thinks of that? Like, oh, who would think of that?
That's not something. Genius.
I was just, and then I kind of like looked at her, and she's not even looking at me. She's just kind of playing with one of her toys and sitting on the couch, and I'm just like,
just thinking.
Who are you talking to? And she just kind of looked at me, and I don't even think she realized she said it out loud. And so it makes me wonder, like, what else, like, what other gems does she have, like, stashed away in her brain? So.
And honestly, I mean, take a minute and think about that. It's pretty genius.
Yeah.
Save up all the little things, and then you'll get a big thing. And that's farts. That's burps. That could be anything. I mean, that's like a life lesson for money right there.
I was going to say, maybe that's what we'll like carry that over into financial planning for her later. And
I think it's genius. Yeah. I think she's on to something.
She has a concept
going. I'm
going
to tell that to all my kids when they keep doing the little ones. Hey, just save up your little farts.
Yeah.
See what happens.
Yeah, we'll have a giant one and blow us all away. There you go.
And we'll all be so amazed by you. Is that all you want? Yes, it is. That's so awesome. There are so many fun. And the funny thing about those call-outs to the audience of Kids Are the Worst is that so many of them happen organically. And I know that word gets super overused right now, but it's kind of fun because I'll just post something random, and I'll post just a few different random things, and it'll remind people of something. Oh, yeah, well, my kid has done something like this recently, and so I'll get, you know, a dozen of people submitting something without me asking on just something that I had posted. Mm-hmm. And I'll post a few of those, and then it just snowballs from there. And it's just kind of, people are just saying, oh, yeah, this is something that is real and it's happening. And I can't really plan for those. They just kind of happen based on everyone's response and reaction. So it's kind of fun to see how that all comes.
I bet. One thing I want you to bring back is the school picture day photos.
Is that the best?
Oh, my gosh. It was just anytime I was having, like, a little anxiety about something, I would just open it up and just look at all these crazy faces. And I don't have my kids. My kids started school after Labor Day, so their school pictures are... My daughters are next week, and my son just had his from preschool last week. So I cannot wait to see what his look like, because he is, he doesn't like when I take his picture so much. So he's usually pretty pouty, and he has the whole pout face down to a science, like full on chin to chest, arms crossed, scowl on his face. Like, I cannot wait for those pictures, because honestly, if they're horrible, I might buy them just for...
Oh, yeah.
Just because they're so horrible, I'll buy them. I mean...
I always say, like, where's the pillow option and the blanket option for the horrible pictures? I don't want them just as little pictures. I want them somewhere really prominent in my house. I just want, like, a giant
blanket.
Put them
on a pillowcase or something. That would be good.
Option. Yeah, I do. I was thinking I need to resurrect that one as... more people's school photos are coming in, especially. I think I got a lot of, you know, previous years.
Yeah.
But we need to kind of see what this year has brought for people. But yeah, that one had some gems for sure.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what my daughters are, only because my daughter's actually, she is really photogenic. So all her photos are usually really cute. But my son, I just know he's going to have some disasters over the next few years. And I honestly, I just can't wait. I can't wait.
Well, it's always a surprise. They're taking like a couple photos of every kid just in this train.
Yeah.
So you know, I think some of my kids are really photogenic, and their photos come back. And I'm like, oh, okay.
What happened?
It's a document. It's good document.
My mother-in-law has all the pictures, like all those 8x10 glossy photos of my husband from all the way down to kindergarten, all the way up to a senior year. And so I love look, and she gave them to me, which is honestly the best gift, because, oh my gosh, they're gems. Every single one is a treasure to me. So
you didn't have it in that big frame with all the little circles and then leading to the circle in the middle that was senior year. Have you seen those?
I have seen those. No, I just have the big 8x10s, so I don't know.
Oh, wow.
I'll have to, I have to do something cool with them, maybe just in the bathroom or something like that. I think that'd be a good place to put all of them.
Yeah, turn those into a quilt. That's what I'm saying. It's always got to be something you can use for comfort.
I should get those, printed on a blanket or something. And actually, my mother-in-law would probably absolutely love that for a Christmas present. So thank you for that.
Go. You're welcome.
I'm filing that away.
I'm just really helpful.
So, I mean, with all the social media that there is nowadays, and do you think, parents judge each other more because of all the social media? Because I know, on Instagram, I don't always post the 20 pictures that it took me to get the one nice picture, you know? No one posts all the awful day-to-day stuff that we kind of have to go through. Do you think is that a thing? I mean, I think it's a thing, but
That we are more judgmental
because
of each other?
Yeah, because of social media.
You know, I've thought about this question a lot over the years, and especially having older kids, I kind of had my little kids. My kids were little during the big blog era, you know, when blogging was so big, so hot, and you had a whole blog roll, and you just went from one blog to another of people you followed and of your friends. And so I feel like we had it there as well, but it wasn't as saturated because you had to write with it, you know, and you had to get your photo the right size, and it just took a lot more time and effort to make a blog than it does to make an Instagram feed or post on Facebook or whatever. Mm-hmm. That being said, there are parts of it that I think seem like it's more difficult to raise kids now, but I also feel like it's easier as well. And what I mean is, it's more difficult. I'm grateful that I'm done with babies because I see it being that I, you know, run some of these accounts, how many products there are right now that I would have been completely oblivious to. And now it's like, oh, you have to have this thing in your crib and this thing on your, you know, this type of wrap and this type of necklace for your baby in case they have anxiety. I mean, there are just so many products and so many things to have. And so there's this keeping up with the Joneses that I think is new and is a little bit intensified because it can just be one thing after another. Right. And so I think because of it, we get a little bit more sensitive to what we don't have. And so the judgments come out a little bit more easily because we're insecure a little. Like, well, I don't have that. All these people act like they're having this perfect life. And so our insecurities kind of come out in a little bit harsher judgment. So I think that has kind of gotten more extreme. But on the flip side, I think, like we were saying earlier, is that we are less judgmental because we are more able to speak our truths, speak our moments, quickly and more easily without having to, you know, write a whole blog post or go meet up with friends at the park and breach that conversation and get it started. We can just kind of let people know in the moment and have people rally around and support us, which has also been something that I don't think existed before. So I think there's both.
Yeah.
But I hear my mom, I remember my mom feeling judged at church and things that she would worry about getting her kids ready. I mean, it's just different for each generation, but we all feel it. And we just have to figure out how to deal with that generation's outlet, I guess.
Yeah. So I know, originally you showed pictures of kids, in their car seats and things like that. And then you stopped because you're too many people were, messaging me about, you know, car seat safety or whatever, but you don't see that the context is that they're stopped or they're not in a car maybe or something like that. But I know you had hey, would you like to see more pictures if you promise not to message me?
People were mad that they thought I was so flippant about it, you know, just even saying should I post more? And for me, in my mind, as I'm writing it, and here again is the problem with writing and social, is that the way you intend and the way it's received is not always the same, you know?
So
I think people thought I was overly flippant because they might have known somebody that got hurt in a car seat accident. And, you know, my heart breaks for anything like that.
Yeah.
And yet the thing that was hardest for me about the car seats is that if I ever posted something, people would come out and attack the mother or the father of the child in the car seat and really kind of rip them apart as though they didn't care about their child, which to me is just too extreme. It's to jump 10 steps ahead and assume all these things because it's something that that person feels comfortable about. So that's why I just thought it's just not worth it. It just was bad energy. And so that one's over. But yeah, it's that sensitivity that I have something, not me personally, someone will think, I know this more than other people know, ergo I must tell everybody what they're doing wrong to teach them, and yet they don't realize it comes across as really hurtful and judgmental, and it's not helpful. So that part gets really tricky on social, for sure.
Yeah. Do you think kids are judged more harshly because of social media now? Like, more so than parents, maybe? Or... do you think because kids now are kind of raised in this like social media era that they're, I don't want to say immune to it, but they just maybe know how to handle it better, or?
Right. I mean, it's the trick. It's the generation, right? They have to figure out how to deal with it. But there are so many times where I think all of us as adults, we think, I'm so glad I wasn't a teenager with social media account. Like the things that I wrote to my friends, in the little notes we passed.
Yeah.
I'm so glad that doesn't have a long-term footprint online. Like that, I feel grateful that I passed over that.
Yeah.
That being said, do I think kids judge? There have been so many studies, and this is what's really interesting, is you can seriously find a study to verify whatever you think on this, because there are thousands. And I think it's fascinating because I think it's somewhere in the middle. I think some kids, the studies are showing kids are more generous, more aware of the world. They're more thoughtful. They're more careful with the things they say and how other people, they're showing themselves to other people. And they're just in general kinder.
Yeah.
And on the flip side, there's also a lot of meanness and bullying, and the access to bullying is a lot easier, and the access to pornography is a lot easier. And for kids, and especially girls, to feel like they have to show a certain side of them or a certain type of look or a certain pose to be accepted, that a lot of us didn't have to deal with. So that is also harder, that they're on social media.
It can be more isolating.
Yeah, trying to show perfection as a child when their brain isn't even fully developed. They don't even understand what they want or who they are, or what they need, and they're trying to, you know, claim that space that shouldn't even be something they worry about yet. So that's hard. So then the judgment comes, because then the other kids are thinking, well, I don't look like that, and how does she have those filters? And it can be a very divisive, lonely space, but it can also be a very strong, community-filled, loving growth space. So it depends on what you're letting your kid do and what your kid's seeing and how you're talking to your kids. Really, it can go either way super fast.
Well, that kind of brings us to one of the, you have two internet guides that you've written. One is Social Media is the Worst, Get Smart Guide. And then you also have one for preteens, teenagers, and it's called Let's Talk. So I read the Get Smart Guide because I have younger kids, but like, what age do you think we should start discussing internet safety with our kids?
As soon as they open an iPad or a tablet on their own.
Okay.
If they can open any device on their own, and usually it's the tablet first because they kind of know the phone, but tablets we kind of give to our kids a little younger. Mm-hmm. But as soon as they're on YouTube, they know how to get to any app on their own, that's when you start talking to them. And that's two, that's three. I mean, three is kind of my number because they can kind of go back and forth. But it's also just an awareness for what your kids are doing, you know, and how you need to talk to them. As soon as they can get on and have access, you should be talking to them about safety. It's just like as soon as they're walking, you're saying, oh, look out for the rock and don't step on that, you know, that tree trunk because you can trip. I mean, it's the same thing. As soon as your kid's doing something, you're teaching them. As soon as they're using the toilet, you're like, don't put too much toilet paper in because it'll clog, right? It's natural. We have to be talking to them.
And it doesn't have to be like big, long lecture, especially with a two-year-old, because that's just going to go over their head. But just totally. Like you said, just kind of like gentle reminders, things like that. Okay.
Yeah.
So, like I said, I read the Get Smart, and then SMART is like an acronym for safety, mom and dad, awareness, rules, and time. And I read this, and what I like about it is how interactive your guide is. You kind of ask questions that you can discuss as a family. You have all these like visual aids, so it can be kind of hands-on as well. And then you give lots of like little fun facts throughout it. You also you use pretty simple language, which I like a lot because it gives you a way to kind of talk about the subject with your kids without overcomplicating it. And I know that's something that I desperately work on with my kids. I always tend to overcomplicate or kind of go too big. And you give really good examples on like ways to bring it up. Can you kind of give us a breakdown of like the differences between your two guides?
Well, yeah, and thank you. I think that's the whole point is I wrote the first one, the social media one, Let's Talk, because I know for myself I needed a guideline to talk to my kids because they could say, hey, what's this hashtag? And suddenly I'm talking like for 2 hours about online personas and third-party ISPs and, you know, suddenly they're like, wait, I just wanted to know what this hashtag was.
Yeah.
And I think as parents, we do this. We just, you know, my mom always called it diarrhea of the mouth, which is such a pretty thought. But it's just, we just get going and going and we want to tell all the things and here's our moment and our opening and we can just vomit all over and they lose it. They're out. They checked out as soon as you got off topic. And so I wrote it for myself so that I could say, okay, let's take these in chunks. Let's make sure I'm keeping myself in check and especially that I'm listening to you. And I want to hear what you think as a child. Like, let's have this be a discussion.
Yeah.
Because I know that if anyone came to me and said, okay, Anna, now we're going to, you can only spend $100 a month on all groceries. I decided that's the budget. I'd be like, excuse me? Why aren't you asking me what I usually spend, how much things cost? Like, why am I not part of this conversation? And instead of going along with it, I would bristle and I'd be upset. Like, I think we all want to feel like we can be part of discussions and be responsible. And little kids are the same. We're trying to teach them not to be jerks. Like you said, if we want our kids to not be jerks as they get older, we have to help them understand how to make decisions, how to have good communication, and then make the right choices for themselves. If we make all the choices for them, they won't learn to do it for themselves and they won't end up making good decisions because they don't know how. And that's all of life is like this or that and moving forward. And so the difference with the guides, I started with this social media one because I saw it as such a need at first because talking to my own children and being in this world marketing wise for the last 10-15 years, I just saw how many people were clueless about it. And you just assume the thing that you do all the time that everyone knows, like it's not that great. Everyone knows about this. And there's shock to realize that most parents didn't know about it.
I don't.
Yeah.
I don't because, well, I mean,
social.
I mean, I'm 33. So, I mean, I'm kind of right in the midst. I was right in the start of the whole like Facebook thing and like MySpace, Friendster. Those were kind of big when I was younger. But I mean, to get on Facebook, you had to have a college email address. Right. And now, like, you know, anybody can get on. So it's much bigger now. And so I'm now, I don't want to say I have the burden, but I have the burden of teaching my kids how to use social media correctly or responsibly. Mm-hmm. But it's something that like I had to fumble my way through as well, because, you know, my parents didn't know about it that much because it was brand new. And I don't think anyone at the time realized how big social media was going to become in our everyday lives.
No.
Yeah. So
yeah, I mean, it's changed. It's changed everything. It's changed the way we market. It's for marketing. It's changed all of advertising. Everything has changed, and it's super exciting. And I'm not just saying that because, you know, the world I'm in, but you start seeing what's happening with the whole IoT, the Internet of Things, mm-hmm. and you start seeing like how much easier our life is going to be and how much more accessible we will be to the world, but also just to like growth potential. It's just all of it's really exciting. And with it comes a lot of really scary parts too. And so again, like my favorite Maya Angelou quote is, when you know better, you do better. And if you know the things that are happening and you're aware of the long reach and the ramifications of certain things, and your kids are aware of this, then they have the tools to do better. And that's all this is. This whole social media guide that I wrote was just to like help kids and parents understand how it works so that they can choose better. But if you just say like, okay, no smartphones, you're only on a flip phone from now on, and you're not telling them why, and you're not giving them education, and you're not giving them tools and good practices, then you're not really teaching them how to do it and how to be better. They're just going to feel like you're imposing big rules on them and go look on their friend's phone and go have if I could just tell you how many messages I've gotten from people who've discovered that their kids had secret phones.
Oh, goodness.
Not just accounts, but phones. Like phones and tablets. Yes.
Kids have
like
burners. That's great.
Yeah. And it's because they don't feel like they can have this conversation, right? So yeah. They have to hide a lot of things. So it's just about that. And then as I wrote the teen one and their social media one, I mean, it should be for teens, but a lot of people are just putting their kids on social media at 10, 9. And, you know, that's one of the things, like if your kids are talking about it and they really want it, then you need to show them what's going on in the social media world. But it is mature. It's really mature.
Yeah.
And it should be treated that way. And they have to learn how to do it. But also I have an 8-year-old and a 12-year-old who has no interest in social media. He wants a smartphone just so he can play games and text his friends. That's it. Like, he wants nothing to do with the social. But I had to still teach them because they're on a game with someone on the iPad in our family room while we're all there. And my son's talking about there's a kid that he's playing with that I don't know who he's playing with on one of these interactive games.
Right.
And we assume our kids know these things because we've been growing up learning, you know, first of all, we had stranger danger when we were younger. And then we have this whole internet where we think, oh, don't know predators, online predators. But our little kids, they don't know these things. And we use words that they don't understand. And we say these big things, like even when someone says, teach your kids about pornography, that means nothing to my 8-year-old, that word.
Yeah.
You know, and I have to help him understand what it means to see something that's inappropriate. And what does inappropriate mean to him? You know, it's like breaking it down so simply in such bite-sized pieces so that he feels empowered. So that he feels like, okay, this is what I go talk to my mom about. And so that's why then I went to like, you know what, we just got to talk internet safety in general, because it's not just social. It's all things internet, and our kids are on it at the schools, and they're on it at their friends' houses. And with the Internet of Things, it's just the reach is much bigger than you realize.
Yeah.
And we have to empower them.
Yeah, I mean, it's something you said in your guide was that kind of really rang true to me, was it's no longer a question of if, it's when. Mm-hmm. Because it's not a question of if they see this, it's because they are going to see stuff that's not appropriate maybe for their age, or just something that they're not, you know, ready to see yet. And so it's really good to have these conversations with them so they don't feel that shame of seeing something that they weren't supposed to, you know?
Totally.
Yeah.
And I think we jump always to pornography with that. And while that's a giant, giant issue. Yeah.
Well, I mean, a lot of things in like news stories and things like that.
Yeah,
exactly. I don't want my kid to see that, you know, as important as it is to, you know, be aware and of what's going on in the world. I don't know if I need my 5-year-old knowing that like there was a school shooting. I mean, that's something that she's gonna, that's, you know, that's part of her reality, unfortunately, in these days and times. But mm-hmm. I don't know, at 5, I don't want that to be having something that's on her mind constantly, I guess. I mean, maybe that's naive of me in a way, but at the same time, I just, you know, as a parent, it's your job to protect your children whatever way that you can. And internet safety is definitely kind of turning into one of those things that you kind of have to protect your child from now. So,
well, if she happened to see something like that, you wouldn't want her to go into a room and try to figure it out on her own, because she's five. She doesn't have the tools to be able to deal with that on her
right.
own.
Yeah.
But if you're just talking about one type of thing, she's not going to realize this is also something she needs to talk to you about. Or if she's scared, or if just something makes her not feel great. I mean, it can be something really, really simple to us, but our kids are trying to work it out, and it makes them feel uncomfortable. It makes them feel awkward. It makes them feel worried for some reason. And I think that's a lot of part of why people are understanding and tackling anxiety more and more, because we don't know what that is for each child and how it grows within them. So we have to help them work through it and talk with them. And they just need to feel like they have a safe space.
Yeah.
Like you said, without shame, that they can come to us, that we say, okay, let's talk about it. Is there something I can do to help you? And not, what? Where'd you see it? Who'd you see it with? Why? Okay, oh my gosh, why'd you see that? You know, and it's our own guilt and shame that pushes onto our children, and they don't feel comfortable then breaching that and saying, you know, I saw a gun, you know, on the internet. And you're like, what? And you feel horrible. So you're like, why? What? Where were you? How did this happen?
What websites were you going to?
Yeah. You got to like practice yourself. Tell me what you saw. Tell me where you were. Okay. Like, do you want to talk about it? How are you feeling? You know, and it's those types of things that help them get the tools to deal with these types of things and know that I have my parents or whomever, my mom or my grandparent or aunt and uncle, whatever that situation is, to figure this out with. I'm not alone.
Yeah.
And I'm not a bad person. It's just something I saw. And so I got to deal with it. So,
yeah, that's definitely one thing. Just, you're not a bad person for seeing something that you probably shouldn't have. It's just, again, it's not a question of if, it's when. So,
totally.
What are some good guidelines that we can put in place for our kids when we're talking about social media?
Well, the minimum age requirement for most children to be on for most Instagram account social media accounts like Instagram, Facebook,
Twitter,
yeah. Snapchat. Yeah, they're all 13.
Okay.
because of COPPA, which is the oh my goodness, now I can't think of it. COPPA, but it's a Child Protective Act.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I just said three of the five words, so I don't know where the other two letters are. But what it is it protects our children, but it also protects the businesses. And so this is put in place so that your child, you might think, oh, well, my friend's kids are 11 and they're on social media and they're on Instagram and they're fine. They're good kids. They're private accounts. But the COPPA was put in place to ensure that no businesses are collecting information on your child, on anyone under 13, because these things are attached to your child for at least 7 years, potentially the rest of their lives. So this is why they get targeted messaging. This is why these industries that you don't want targeting your children are targeting your children, because you gave them the right saying they were over 13 years old. Now, I'm talking, you know, gaming, addiction, pornography, all of these types of these businesses out there. They're very savvy, they're very smart, and they know that there are a lot of kids that aren't 13, and they know their use, and they know if they can get these kids to see a little bit of whatever, you know, whatever their funnel is, their marketing ploy, they understand that they can get these kids addicted early. And it is nefarious, it's dangerous, it's scary, but we don't realize that when we're saying our kid's private, they can handle this, they're good kids, we're really opening up this long reach of business and marketing and advertising and companies being able to collect information on your children that they should not be collecting, that they are not allowed to collect, that they are, it's illegal, but you gave your child the permission by saying that they were 13. I mean, to me, that's number one. There's no reason they need to be on it before they're 13.
Yeah.
There's just zero reason. And parents want, you know, for different reasons, want to show their kids, which I get, like, here I am, kids are the worst. I have these kids I'm posting. And so there's this, you know, this line, you know, where do you draw it that you say, okay, I'm going to control this for my child, and then here I'm going to let my child have this experience for themselves. And some people think that they should give their child the experience to control their social media before they're 13, so that by the time they're 13, they're capable. But it's just the opposite. It's 13, you start helping them understand how to use social media. So by the time they're 18 and they graduate and they're out of your house, hopefully, that then they actually know how to handle it, because they've been using it under your roof, under your rules, under your protection, with your guidelines. So 13 to me, minimum age. And in our family, my kids know 13 is the minimum, but that doesn't mean you get it. There are rules in our house. Like, you have to be, you know, doing all your homework and doing the chores around the house and acting mature about certain subjects. And we have this all written out.
Yeah, you have to handle everyday life before you can handle any sort of online type of life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you get one at a time. You get one social media account. You don't get to say, well, I want to have all of them. I want to be on Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and Snapchat. It's like, sorry, no.
Yeah.
You pick one, and then I'm on it with them. I get to see it whenever I want. I get to, you know, proof and
passwords and things like that. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Okay. It's not private. So I mean, those are just the basic guidelines for social. That, and then it's just those constant check-ins, talking to your kids about, like, okay, what's this? What's going on? And being aware of the trends.
Yeah, have that ongoing conversation. It's not like a one and done thing.
Totally.
Okay. One of the other things that you say in your guides is to not wait for your kids to teach you about social media. You need to be the ones to teach them. Now, for parents that may not be as, you know, tech savvy, what are some, like, good resources or tools that parents can use to educate themselves about all these different media platforms?
Totally. Let's say your kids really want to be on Snapchat. And Snapchat is just, it's just one of those burden apps. Just if your kid wants to be on it and they are dying for it, and the best thing you can do is you go to snapchat.com. I'm not even kidding. You go to these websites and you read the guides they have for parents. They have tools for all of these apps. Instagram.com has it. Facebook.com has it. Twitter.com. They all have these guides and these FAQs for parents to understand what is going on for the teens. And so you don't have to go to someone like me or one of your friends, or go to a, you know, parent night at the police station to find out all of this stuff. You don't. Like, you can just go to their site, and they want these relationships, because if you are allowing yourself or your child to be on, then they're not going to be taken down and lose all their money, right? So they're very helpful. They're very, and you'd think it would be self-serving, so they'd only say the good things. They don't. They're very self-aware.
Okay.
And so that you can get good guidelines.
Gotcha.
And not get scared. Like, the worst thing that's happening right now is that fear is driving parents' decisions instead of empowerment, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we hear these things and we get really scared, and then we say, oh my gosh, okay, we're never going to be on that ever again. Instead of saying, okay, let's learn about it, let's get knowledge about this, and then let's make a really strong decision based on our conversation and our education, right? So go to that first. There are guides out there. I know there are plenty of resources people can go to. So mine is definitely not the only one, and there are things that are even more intense, and so go to the thing that makes sense for you and your family, for sure.
But yeah, I honestly,
that's the first thing.
Yeah, I didn't even know. I mean, that seems like such an obvious thing, just to go to the thing's website. I honestly did not know that they had that, though. I feel super ignorant for not even, like, thinking to look that up. So that's actually really good.
Most people aren't aware of it. It's one of those things that people say, how do you know all of this about Snapchat? Like, well, snapchat.com. Like, I can read all of it. I mean, granted, I do go to other resources as well that I have and that I can learn about. But, you know, a lot of it's filled with very tech-heavy jargon, like words that make it confusing for just regular people to, or parents to understand. You know, and you don't want to feel dumb. Just like your kids don't want to feel dumb. You want to feel empowered. So go to the places that's really simple. And then, honestly, yes, your kids should not be teaching you. But just last night, my kids and I, my teens and I were talking about some codes someone had posted. Like, if your kids are using these numbers or these acronyms, this is what they're meaning on text. And so I just asked my kids. I said, do you know what these mean? Do you know what these words are?
Yeah.
And they were like, no, what? No. So we just had a conversation. I'm like, well, what are the new acronyms? What's the new jargon? And then they were just telling me. So yeah, they're still teaching me some things. But then I said, oh, it's like slide into the DMs. And my son's like, what does that mean? I hear it all the time. And so I told him, and my daughter's like, oh, that makes so much more sense than what I thought it was.
You know? Okay. Yeah.
So it's like, I can teach them still, even though they're teaching me the jargon, then I'm teaching them. And it's just like, that type of education and tools, like, you go and find out, but then be okay asking your kids.
Yeah. I mean, as long as you have that open communication, it's okay to learn from each other. Yeah.
You have to start. And I always say this too, like, parents will say, but my kids don't talk to me. And I say, well, if you start it and you do it consistently, if you every week you just ask one new question or something simple, then what happens is one, they think, okay, my parents are aware, they're trying, they know what's happening. Even if they're not going to answer you, there's that little wheel that starts turning in their head, like, okay, they're aware, they're here. And then slowly and surely they're going to, like, be responding with you and talking with you. It's not going to happen overnight if your kid's 17 and has been doing this for 5 years.
Yeah. But
it's just consistency, and it's not being overbearing and just letting them tell you without that shame and just moving forward. I'm not pretending like it's easy, but it does get easier. It gets easier.
Nothing is easy in the world of parenting, so, you know,
no,
it's all impossible.
Impossible. It's like impossible. An impossible job.
That's right. Well, I'm going to kind of wrap it up there because, honestly, I love talking to you. This was such great information that you gave us. I'm going to go ahead and also link all of Anna's pages, her Instagram accounts, so you can follow her on social media. You can look up her guides and buy them for yourself, because they do have a ton of really great information on there. And it's a really good way to start the conversation. So, Anna, thank you so much for coming on the show. I really had a great time talking to you, and would love to have you back as a guest some other time.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you. If you like this episode of The Impossible Job, please rate, comment, and subscribe. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. You can also find The Impossible Job on Facebook. You can also follow me on Twitter @_impossiblejob. Or if you would like to email me personally, you can contact me at Laura@WBQB.com. All right, everyone. Thank you so much. Bye.
The views, thoughts, and opinions expressed by the host and guests on this podcast are their own and not necessarily those of Centennial Broadcasting.